4 o'clock hour, we will start with the stock market report. Big news today out of Wall Street was the Fed dropping the interest rate by 0.5%. I call it 50 basis points, if you want to sound like you know what you're talking about. Stock market report sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home of the $21,000 discount, KendallDodgeChryslerJeepRam.com. So the Dow Jones ends up down 103 points today. It was up 375 points at one point this afternoon. S&P 500 down 16 points and the NASDAQ down 54 points. But again, a big Fed rate cut today, 50 basis points, and that's good news for a lot of borrowers. Rob Pizzola will join us this segment at some point and give us some picks. So let's begin with headlines. And Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
I'm watching several beat writers right now, media members who cover the Miami Dolphins, post some video and pictures. Skylar Thompson is at the podium addressing the media. Marcel Louis Jacques covers the Dolphins for ESPN. He tweets a picture. He said, Skylar Thompson said his family is excited and it was cool for him to share this journey with them ahead of his fourth career start this Sunday. Dolphins at the Seattle Seahawks.
QB1, baby. My QB1.
Let's go, Sky.
4.5 still the line. Gonna ask Pizzola, obviously, what he thinks. Yeah, 4.5. Seattle minus 4.5.
And the Seahawks aren't world beaters.
They're not.
No. But quarterback.
But Geno Smith has shown you over the last couple seasons, like he's a pretty decent quarterback.
Yeah, he's decent. And that's what we have to have. We can get a decent quarterback, our roster's better than the Seahawks. But what is Skylar going to do? The whole question that we're going, what is Skylar Thompson really is what we need to find out.
Yeah, I mean, they're 2-0, right? I know that's not like the best barometer, but there's a lot of really good teams that are 1-1, 0-2, the Ravens. Like,
they were in danger of losing to New England at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't go to overtime?
It did.
They went to overtime with New England. Like, yeah, they're not whooping nobody's tail.
But hard to play in Seattle. The 4 o'clock game, you have a brand new quarterback. Like, for me, it's why I bet Seattle. It just, for me, it kind of, and I saw the way the Dolphins looked against Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't look good. I mean, they didn't look good. And now, you don't know if Jacksonville's any good because I thought, oh, okay, well, week one, they beat a good Jacksonville team. You know what? I don't think they're a good Jacksonville team.
No.
And they squeaked by them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this first month of the season is not telling you what teams are good and bad. I think it's very up and down by this because
that I agree.
Is Minnesota going 17-0? Like, come on, man. Sam Darnold is about to be Sam Darnold sooner or damn later. The Giants, they're terrible though. I'd say that
they are terrible.
Giants, Carolina. We talked about there. You're going to have five terrible teams. You're going to have five good teams. And there are 20 in the middle that you don't know who the hell they are.
It's a weird 180 I've done, though, where I was rooting so hard for the Carolina Panthers just for my own narratives on this show. Now I have never rooted against a team that wasn't an AFC East team as hard as I'm going to root against the Carolina Panthers, because if Andy Dalton gets a win this Sunday, I will be in shambles.
You know, it's not the craziest thing in the world to think that Carolina will win because he is a veteran quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback either. And there's just that whole notion of, you know, like an emotional vibe change in Carolina. It's just that this is the way these things play out.
Just Solana, not to rain on your parade. Andy Dalton's a 3-time Pro Bowler.
Oh, stop with the Pro Bowl. So is Snoop Huntley.
Andy Dalton has 39,000 passing yards. He's thrown 250 touchdowns. Solana.
You know how long it would take Bryce Young at his current passing yards per game to reach 39,000?
He play against Solana's son.
And he has 1,630,000,000 years. I did the math.
He'd play against Alejandro Jr.
I'm going to ask Pizzola about the Carolina game, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, they have the Raiders on Sunday. If they were going to beat a random team, like that's seems like a decent one to go and beat.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, man, there's some white-on-white crime going on, though, because Max Crosby's coming off that edge.
Look out for him.
That Joker's a beast.
Holy mackerel.
All right, so Canes, obviously, on Saturday, they'll play at USF. Do we know yet, Hawk, if that's on ESPN or ESPN2? Jimmy and I were talking about it.
It's ESPN. On ESPN.
ESPN, nice. Hopefully it won't kick you off in the third quarter like they did this past weekend.
That was the ACC network. Mm-hmm. Shame on them. Listen, you wanna boot a Florida team off the ACC network? Boot off FSU, all right? Now, I know the game started 2.5 hours late. Sorry. Stick with it from beginning to end. Give you all these cockamamie instructions in the third quarter. It's like, now you can pick up the rest of the game because we're switching our coverage to whatever, ACC Network Extra Gas Pump. And then you can also watch it on ESPN Plus. So I go to ESPN Plus. There's no Canes game. Hello? You told me to show up. Here I am. There's no party here.
I enjoy watching Cam at the Sunco.
That's what happened. I had to drive over to the gas station, watch him on the pump.
All right, guys. Today I drove into like my gas station where I always get gas before coming to the show. And all the pumps had a bag over them. They were out of order.
Mm.
That's a terrible situation, man.
The worst.
You put oil in your gas tank?
Is that what he said?
He said they were all out of oil. Does your car work?
I really don't know what I put in my car. It's whatever is at the gas station. I don't know anything about gasoline, oil.
It is nice, though, at least when they put the bag over the pump to let you know.
Right.
Some of the places, they don't even let you know. You're in there. You're putting the card. Nothing's going on. Now you're looking around. There's no one around. You're the only one there.
Solana, you put Celsius in your vehicle before?
Whatever shoots out of that pump. I'm with him. Whatever shoots out of that pump is going in the car. What do I know? I'm doing a petroleum check.
You got to get that 93, though. Your car runs smooth.
No, stop it. 87. You're ridiculous. 93.
I'm an
83.
I'm an 87 guy, too.
Yeah, you better be.
What about this mid-grade stuff?
Stop 89? It. Pick a side, people.
89?
Pick a side. Pick a side. What a little. You're 87 upgrade. Or you're 93? Don't tell me you're squirreling on your gas.
Nah, 89.
This seems like the perfect chance to bring in Rob Pizzola. Your thoughts?
Because it's totally different in Canada because they've got the metric system.
No, well, but we still pump gas the exact same way.
Is that so?
Certainly not putting oil in my car. Yeah, I always come into the most fascinating conversations here.
And by fascinating, you mean ridiculously dumb.
Yeah, I've never really thought about it. I guess you're taking the gas station's word for it when you hit the button and whatever goes in, you're hoping it's gas. I see Crowder spending up for the next level. I'm a value guy, but probably not getting a good deal on that either, Crowder, but I don't even know what Solana was talking about, putting oil in the tank. Like,
he puts oil in his gas tank.
But you're saying you can't say for sure your car won't run on maple syrup?
I drive an electric car, so I drive a Tesla, and
what if it's not sunny out?
Oh, it just charges through electricity, and it's not through solar.
I don't know. I heard some Trump speech. I don't know. A shark died. There's no sun. I can't watch TV. You can't drive your car.
I was very opposed to getting a Tesla in the first place. My wife really wanted one. I'm like, I'm going to try this out. And now, especially for Canadian winters, you know what it's like pumping gas in a Canadian winter when you're even just get out of the car for 3 minutes, not having to do that once every couple weeks has significantly improved my life in a big, big way. So, yeah, it's great.
And Rob, I know you're a numbers guy like you do. My wife thinks we're saving money, but our electric bill is $17,000 a month now because we have that little supercharger in the damn garage.
Okay, so there's ways on the car that you can program it to only charge when your electricity is at the lower cost. Because if you're charging during the days, you're gonna get killed. So you gotta, yeah.
I have an article for you, Crowder. The Ticket Wizard sent me an article yesterday about FPL and their program for car chargers, because he said you and he were talking about it at Funky Buddha, and he sent me an article. I just haven't forwarded it to you yet.
Please.
Actually, I did forward it to you. I forwarded it to you today.
You did? We're about to get evicted from this electricity bill.
I don't know if they can evict you from an electricity bill. Okay. Rob Pizzola is a professional sports gambler from the great nation of Canada, and he comes to us courtesy of Forward Progress, which is part of the Hammer Betting Network. Forward Progress produces daily NFL betting content to keep you informed, help you get a step up on the books. Check out Forward Progress on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. And officially, hello, Rob.
Hello, Mark.
All right. You want to finish up the headlines here, Solana, and we'll get to some picks with Rob?
Yeah, definitely. The Marlins will play the Dodgers once again tonight, 6:40. They won last night, 11-9, and Shohei did hit a jack to right field. They'll play again tomorrow, by the way. That's a afternoon game at 4:45. Tonight, Inter Miami, they're at Atlanta United. You can listen to the game right here on your home for Inter Miami, 560 WQAM. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy in South Florida. Raining here in El Portal. Hot and humid. That is your weather.
Jimmy, what about you? What kind of gas you put in your car? Go high test, low test, mid test?
I take regular.
Regular. Yeah, that's a very old man way of saying it that I said there. High test. High test. That's what my dad used to say.
Yeah, probably Costco.
Yeah, my dad would go, listen, you never put in the high test. That's how they get you. All right, Dad. Never put in the high test. All right. He used to talk about getting an oil change. He called it a lube and an oil. Gotta go get a lube and oil.
Hmm.
He used to lube up all the joints and stuff. It was a whole, or maybe he was going to a whorehouse. Who knows?
No, that's what made you.
Lubing and oil. They found it at Diddy's house.
I'm not laughing at that. Something else.
Too soon. Too soon.
Something else.
Rob Pizzola, Dolphins. So explain this. They are 4.5-point dogs in Seattle. As you know, I am the square's square when it comes to gambling. I saw Seattle minus 5.5 early this week. I locked in a huge bet because I was certain the line was going to go up. It's down to 4.5. What am I missing, and what's your side?
Well, the look ahead in this game was Miami 1.5-point favorites on the road. So had Tua been playing 1.5, so you've seen a pretty substantial shift from Tua to Skylar Thompson, roughly 6 points going through the key number of 3 on the other side. There are a lot of angles in the NFL. We saw this with Malik Willis last week as an example, where you get a backup quarterback, they're making their first start. I know this isn't the first career start for Skylar Thompson, but you know, it's that situation where you get an elevated maybe effort from the rest of the team. Lots of pros like to back that type of situation, which is why you got the early money on Miami in this game. I'm pretty high on Seattle this year. I like their new coaching staff. Geno Smith has played really well with the new OC, Ryan Grubb. Mike McDonald, their head coach, came over from Baltimore, and I think he's a really smart guy. What I call this is like a fat tail event game. So this is very numbers-based, what I'm going to get into here now. But I think if you like Miami in this game, you play them on the money line. Don't play them on the spread. Don't take the 4.5 points. Hope that you just get that huge effort from Miami. Maybe some wrinkles in the offense that, you know, McDaniel can call up a really good game and it works the first time out and they win on the road. Or you take the Seahawks and you take them like on an alternate spread, minus 9.5, something where it's just not working for Miami. They're going to get blown out in the game. It's one of those where I can see an extreme range on what can happen here. Personally, I'm not likely to get involved in this game. I do think that Miami gets back to running the ball pretty heavily. This can work in their favor this game. Seattle's dealing with a lot of injuries in their front seven on defense. They've been missing Uchenna Nwosu the whole year. Boye Mafe got hurt last week. Jerome Baker got hurt last week as well. They have some holes there. There's opportunities for Miami to move the ball. I'm a little bit too high on Seattle to want to invest against them at this point in the year. I have a lot of Seattle futures. I think they're a really good football team. It's also a really tough environment for a backup quarterback to go into and play a game in Seattle, 12th man. So nothing for me there, but depending on which side you like, I would actually look at some alternate lines.
So I'm looking at it now on the Hard Rock app. So Seattle minus 10 is plus 190.
Yeah.
Is that enough to move the needle for you?
Those are the kinds of things I would look at. Rather, I think there's lots of scenarios where Seattle can win by margin here. I also think there's scenarios where Miami wins outright. They just run the ball and they do it really effectively on a Seattle front that's missing players. Similar to a Green Bay Indy last week, where Green Bay runs the ball 51 times, they pass 14 times, and they still win the game. There are those types of scenarios.
But if you had to pick a side, you're going to take Seattle laying the points.
Yes.
Okay. How about this one? Tomorrow, Thursday night football, the Jets host the Patriots. Obviously, we like watching the AFC East teams. Jets are 6-point favorites. I don't know if you're buying the Patriots, if you buy the Jets yet. Where are you at on that game?
I think, if anything, I'm selling the Jets more so than anything else. It's a really tough spot for New England. So there's a few things to take into account here. I'm not a trends guy. I make that very clear. But teams that are coming off an overtime game and have to play on a short week, 5-24 against the spread the last 29 times. The New England Patriots fall into that category, having taken Seattle to overtime. There's also an angle that gets brought up a lot with first-time head coaches. The first time that they play Thursday night football, they tend to be disastrous. Lots of blowouts. The logic there would be their first-time head coach. They don't know how to deal with the short week. They haven't done it before. It's a learning experience for someone like Gerard Mayo. I get that. The problem I have with this game is the Jets' offense is not explosive at all. And if you're going to lay 6 points, you're asking for them to win by margin. And listen, Aaron Rodgers looks better than I thought he would coming off of an Achilles injury, but it's nothing downfield. Everything is short underneath. They're not stretching the field vertically. A lot of this is to do with Robert Saleh, their head coach, and Nathaniel Hackett, their OC, who are very conservative guys who like to, you know, Rob Saleh especially, trust the defense type of player. So whenever I'm looking at these big spreads, I like to bet these big spreads when I'm comfortable a team can put up a lot of points. The Patriots are a good defense. They have good corners. They've defended well through the first two games of the year with Gerard Mayo as their head coach, defensive coach. I'm not so sold on their offense, but you have a lot of injuries in the Jets front seven as well. Jermaine Johnson got hurt last week. CJ Mosley left the game. And whenever like a big time linebacker who's getting the plays coming into the headset leaves, I'm always concerned about those defenses going forwards as well. So I'm waiting here. I'm hoping we get a late push on the Jets and I can potentially get a 7 on the Patriots. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't know that it's going to happen, but I think a lot of the angles in this game are a little bit overstated because this Jets team just doesn't have an explosive element to the offense right now.
And here's another one. I'll give you a random game. Aside from the fact that we've been talking about Bryce Young for several weeks now, and we're fascinated with this Carolina Panthers team and Bryce Young. And so now he's on the bench. It'll be Andy Dalton at quarterback. They're in Vegas. Carolina Panthers are getting 5.5 points in Vegas.
Yep. So immediately the Dalton announcement happens and money comes in on Carolina. So the market thinks Andy Dalton is an upgrade over Bryce Young, as do I. And I think it's substantial. Listen, no, Bryce Young, he just didn't do it. To me, the offensive line play has been okay. I know they don't have the best receiving weapons in the world or anything like that. but they had to make that move, in my opinion, if they wanted to try to salvage the season. The Raiders are kind of the team that falls into the same category as the Jets, right? I don't want to bet the Raiders to win by margin ever because they don't have an explosive offense. They won last week at Baltimore. First thing Antonio Pierce says after the game is, we don't want to win this way with having Gardner Minshew throw this many passes. We want to get back to running the ball. And that's the Raiders' identity. It hasn't worked for them this year. They haven't been able to run it, but I do expect them to go back to that. And because of that, it kind of shrinks the game, in my opinion, where you would favor the underdog a little bit more. Andy Dalton has shown in the last few years he's very serviceable. He's going to come in there. He can work behind an offensive line that is decent. He has, like, Deontay Johnson is actually one of the best separators in the entire league. He just never gets the ball because he's been playing with horrible quarterbacks, whether it's Bryce Young, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph. All these guys have been terrible for him. I like the Panthers in this game. I actually do. Like, I'm not – I get how bad this team could be. Don't, like, and we could – you could have me on next week, Mark, and Carolina could have lost by 35. It's not going to surprise me. But the Raiders aren't the team to me that's going to blow teams out, win by margin. You look at week one when they just tried to run the ball over and over against the Chargers. It didn't work. They couldn't do anything. I think this is enough points where I would back Carolina here.
All right, fair enough. Are you buying, just out of curious, are you buying New Orleans? Are you buying Tampa? Like, who have you seen in the first couple of weeks where you go, you know what, this is some legit good football team?
Oh, New Orleans for sure. New Orleans has scored on every possession this year. They have scored on every possession. Clint Kubiak, their new OC, is running a ton of motion. They run more motion at the line of scrimmage than any team in the league. It's a completely different offense to years past, which was very vanilla. And you're seeing, I'm buying the Saints. I think that OC has turned that team around. I'm buying the Cardinals offense a lot. I don't know that they're going to be as good as they have been. And they ran into a Rams team last week that was very beat up. But I think the Cardinals are feisty. They're going to be in a lot of games. They're in tough against Detroit this week because Detroit's going to own the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. But New Orleans Saints, for sure, I'm buying. Cardinals offense, I think that team is going to be in a lot of games because they can put up points.
And what about a team like Baltimore or Cincinnati? Like, are you buying that they're not good?
I would say no. I think those teams will get it together. Baltimore has legitimate concerns because their offensive line is bad. And they can't stretch the field either. They don't have the secondary they used to. But they're not going to be a team, in my opinion, that's going to go like 5-12. They'll be competitive. Cincy will turn it around at some point as well. They are worse. Both Baltimore and Cincy are worse than they have been in years past, but they'll get it going. The real one for me is Minnesota, that I love that coaching staff. I love Kevin O'Connell, Brian Flores. Again, in tough this week because they have Houston. This is a real – they beat the 49ers last week. If they beat the Texans this week, I don't know how you can't buy into the Vikings being a legitimate team, even with Darnold. Like, they are putting Darnold in the best position to succeed. So that, to me, is another game that's huge this week where I want to see what the Vikings do at home against the Texans.
How about your Cowboys?
Sell.
Sell.
Same story every year. I mean, if we happen to get to the playoffs, we're going to lose the first game anyways. And, it's just,
did you bet them? I bet them last week. I thought they were going to roll New Orleans. I just thought they were going to roll them. I have completely misread this Cowboys team.
So I didn't bet them last week. I actually bet the Saints on some alternate lines last week.
Wow.
And I actually would have had a life-changing payday if Derek Carr hit 300-plus passing yards last week. But they got out to such a big lead and the Cowboys couldn't do anything that they didn't even have to throw anymore. But I had some parlays with Saints -9.5. You did not hear me incorrectly. Saints -9.5. Wow. And Derek Carr 300-plus yards. And that would have been an enormous payday. So I'm ruining that.
How come
one,
we never have any life-changing possibilities, Crowder?
Because you're terrible at this.
I really am terrible at this. But I was right on my two rushing overs.
Weeks
one and two. That money train's over, though. It's done. He, like, whether he comes back, doesn't come back, you can never bet another rushing over again with Tua.
In fact, when he comes back, you should probably bet the rushing under in every single game he plays, because he is not running the ball again.
Right.
Like there are going to be no designed runs for him. He's not sneaking it.
I think there's going to be designed runs that go backwards just to show, like, they're going to show you that he's never running towards football players. They're going to have him take safeties from the 30. He's going to run 70 yards back.
He is not running the ball. So it'll be interesting to see what the lines are.
Week one and two, I did peg that.
You did nail it. You might have also contributed to his concussion, actually.
Pretty sure I did.
Such a big push that I think he might have done it.
Man, you are.
Pretty sure I did. Anything for a winning ticket. Rob Pizzola, follow him on Twitter, at Rob Pizzola. He's a professional sports gambler. He comes to us courtesy of Forward Progress, which is part of the Hammer Betting Network. Forward Progress produces daily NFL betting content to keep you informed, help you get a little step up on the books. So check out Forward Progress on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. He likes Seattle laying the points against the Dolphins. He likes New England. Hopefully he can get 7 against the Jets tomorrow night. And he likes the Carolina Panthers and Andy Dalton getting the points on Sunday.
Famous last words right there.
I believe this man said to us after week one, I will never bet the Panthers again. And then I think he has proceeded to bet them week two and now week three.
No. We're not. I did not bet the Panthers last week. I crossed that game off the list. I'm like, no. It's not the Bryce Young Panthers. I will never bet again. Give me another quarterback, and I think they have a functional offense. They've scored 13 points in 2 games.
Every time he thinks he's out, pull him back in. All right, Rob Pizzola. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys. Good luck this week.
There you go. Rob Pizzola. And we'll take a break here. We still have plenty of stuff to get to on this Wednesday, so do not go anywhere.
Unfortunately, this is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Berries and cream, berries and cream. I'm a little lad who loves berries and cream.
Hawk and Crowder.
To 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored. Of course, Game Day Uncensored can be heard on game days 4 hours prior to kickoff. So it'll be noon this Sunday here on 560 WQAM. Brendan Tobin and Alejandro Solana. 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored. Brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV for those who never want to lose their edge. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Yeah, I'm a little torn. I was just watching some video that some of the Dolphins beat writers have put up, talking with Tyler Huntley and watching Skylar Thompson at the podium today. And he was getting even a little bit choked up talking about how meaningful this is getting to start for the Dolphins and talking about his whole journey. Yeah, I'm rooting so hard for this team. I'm just having a tough time figuring out, like, how do you go into Seattle? And again, Skylar Thompson, look, this isn't some guy who you've never heard of, who they plucked off someone else's practice squad. Like, this is a guy who's been with the organization for a long time. He caught everyone's attention that first preseason when they had drafted him in the 7th round. Yep. And he's been, you know, part of the roster the last 2 seasons because they know a team will take him. So I have a little bit of trepidation where I keep saying, I think Seattle's going to win this game because, man, if anyone knows the personnel and the offense, the coaching staff, the way the plays are going to be called or the way the game will go and change, you know, based on how things are looking, like, it is Skylar Thompson. Like, this probably is the best case scenario. Having a guy who's been the backup for, I mean, all of Mike McDaniel's tenure,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, so it's not like you're going to get Tyler Huntley and bringing him in to start. You know, that's Green Bay and Malik Willis. Like, they got him during the preseason, right? And all of a sudden it's week 2 and he's starting for Green Bay. But Skyler's been part of this organization for a while. You should have some faith that he's going to be able to perform well on Sunday.
and trust Mike McDaniel, trust Chris Greer. They kept him around for this long. They drafted him. They developed him. And that's exactly what it is. And you're saying you should have it. But what we've seen is two starts, 1-1, 68 of 119 for 57%, 614 yards. He's only thrown one NFL touchdown and three NFL interceptions. That's what you've seen. And correct, that's my problem. It's like, I haven't seen it. If he's only thrown for 600 yards in 3 years. It's like Tua throws for 600 yards in two games. So I have to see it out of Skyler. We could be sitting here at 8 o'clock on Sunday saying, oh, boy, we got us somebody. We got us one. Or we could be sitting here saying, damn, I want to see this Huntley guy. I think that it's the question of Skyler Thompson. And that's what the concern is.
I'm just saying kind of where I'm at on him is, hey, this isn't like, oh, we're going to take a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
Some guy, maybe he'll, you know how you see like a quarterback that would just get signed and they come in and they have everything written on their wrist. They don't know really any, like he's been here. Is this his fourth season, Solana?
Third season. Yes.
So they drafted him Mike McDaniel's first year?
I believe so. And he actually played in a playoff game, Crowder. So he's played in three games. This will be his fourth career NFL start. Remember, Teddy Bridgewater was the backup that year. But Skyler ended up playing because Teddy had to go to concussion protocol.
That was his fourth season.
I could be wrong, but I believe this is his third year.
2022, 23, 24. No,
yeah.
Third year.
Yeah.
But he didn't touch the field. He didn't touch the field in 23.
No, which is why I am concerned. And Hawk, my real concern is not so much what is Skyler Thompson. I think we know what Skyler Thompson is. He can extend plays. He can kind of get out of the pocket. Like I think we know he has an arm. We know what he is. Can he limit his mistakes and can he make some crucial throws when they need to be made? But to me, the bigger issue is just in general the holes this team has. And
well, that's a legit concern. That I was specifically talking about just having enough faith in a backup quarterback who's been here for three seasons.
Right.
There are concerns about the roster. Like, listen, if you didn't come away from Thursday night's game with concerns about the team, then you weren't watching the same game that I was watching.
And
I'm with you there.
And Tua can cover those up. Tua can cover those up when the offense is hitting, right? But when it's not, like it wasn't the other day, how's that going to look? Now you're asking a guy who hasn't taken a snap in over 365 days to cover up those holes, those deficiencies. To me, that's where the real concern lies.
Why are y'all speaking in code about these holes and deficiencies? It's the offensive line. We have all pro running backs. We have two of the best receivers in the league. It's the offensive line that's a concern. And can Skyler get the ball out of his hand? Or can Mike McDaniel scheme up something to move him around where he's not sitting there behind this line?
There's defensive concerns too, no?
Yeah, there is. Because that run defense, the run defense was decent till it's not decent. I had concerns there as well. And the off corner. We talked about that in the summer. Once X is gone, you're like, hey, nobody's going to pick on Jalen Ramsey. They're going to go at other people. There's no reason to go over there with Jalen when Kader Kohu's there and you've seen him get exposed. But it's what Mike can do with the knowledge of knowing that now you have a backup quarterback behind a questionable line. How good is Patrick Paul? How good is Kalen Wright? But they're rookies. I know as much about Skyler Thompson as I do about Patrick Paul.
Right.
And he's been here three years.
But here's what I would say. So he starts a playoff game. That game, I'm guessing, is called differently than a traditional game because you literally can't afford for him to make a mistake. So it becomes very narrow, right? Yeah. And then last Thursday when he comes in relief, and listen, he was less than impressive, but no one was impressive Thursday. And I felt like Mike McDaniel, the moment Tua went out, was lost. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of showed on the field as well. I don't think Mike McDaniel, like, I think the moment Tua went out, Mike McDaniel said, this game's over. And it probably was before he went out anyway. Yeah. He may have been that at that place in his head anyway. This is 10 days of Mike McDaniel preparing with Skyler Thompson, the offense preparing with Skylar Thompson and Skylar Thompson getting all the reps with the ones. I just think what we saw in the playoff game and what we saw Thursday night is probably not indicative of what we're going to see from Skylar Thompson on Sunday. I'm hoping, at least, because I don't think you have to dumb it down, because I don't, like, he's been there long enough that you don't. I think they did Thursday night. I think they do during a playoff game. But I think what you'll see Sunday is the offense that Mike McDaniel was brought in to lead. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But yeah. I think you'll see it.
Those screens going to have to hit. Those hand sweeps have to hit. The run game got to get going. They got to crowd the box. And then Skylar now can get those deep crossers and get the one-on-ones. And we'll see if Skylar can make those throws. If he starts under and overthrowing Tyreek when he's wide the hell open, that's when I'll be concerned.
Then you know.
But the front side of the offense, those that the tunnel screen game and all that quick game stuff they do and all those little cutesy pitch leads they run, like, all that has to start hitting so that Tyler can get the one-on-ones on the backside, because that's what Tua needs to get those one-on-ones. So if you can't get that going, Tua can eat in that. Skyler's not Tua, so we really need to get that run game and that screen game going.
And what's it going to look like if you are down in the second half, Crowder, right? If they were running, I wouldn't say a dumbed-down version of the offense. I don't expect them to, but if they're running an altered version where they are playing a bit more conservatively just to get Skyler's beak wet, what's it going to look like if they are down 10 points in the fourth quarter? And the Seahawks are saying, okay, you're going to get back in this game, do it, but you're not doing it, getting the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Now what?
I thought of it when you said it. There should not be plays in an empty backfield. There should not be plays where it has to be Skylar. You have to have some kind of run threat, swing route threat. Like, if they get down, run the same offense that you plan to Hawks Point. You have an offense plan for 10 days, continue to run that offense, because don't put Skylar five wide and say, go win the game, Skylar. That's setting everybody up for success and me to be messed up and very pissed off on Monday.
Looking to see if there's any player props posted yet. There's not for Skylar. There is for Geno Smith. Over under 238.5 yards.
I looked at Skylar's rushing yards, and they're not there yet, because I'm going to bet
you. Yeah, nothing. I don't see any Dolphins props, maybe because the injury report hasn't come out yet today. Because there are Seahawks props. Because I think it would matter if Teron Armstead is on the injury report or not.
Yeah. Hawk, I'm jumping on this guy. And whenever y'all see a Skylar rushing over, please text me.
You're taking the over?
I'm taking the over. He's got to scramble.
He's got to scramble,
and he's not going to slide and look downfield.
That's one of the things that young quarterbacks do. Like, they see a little bit of a lane, they run.
Let's go get it.
Don't get injured, Skylar. 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour is coming up. We'll get some headlines from Solana. The injury report may be released by the 5 o'clock hour as well.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You look slightly zooted.
You know, I might have tailgated a little bit.
Hawk and Crowder.